It's Tuesday, the 8th of March, 2016. Happy birthday to Saša Vujačić. Welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Show, brought to you by moneyball.com.au and Massa_MKE. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast like Massa_MKE, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can become said sponsor. Of course, a big shout out goes out to everyone at Moneyball, Australia's best daily fantasy sports site. If you live in Australia or New Zealand, make sure you're checking out Moneyball for all your DFS needs. If you're watching this podcast on YouTube and you're watching it live, interact with the show by tweeting at me, redrock_bball, and we're off.
Let's get to it.
Before we actually get to it, I don't know why, 5 minutes before I was about to go to air and start recording this podcast, the song Prince Ali from Aladdin came into my head, and it's one of my favorite songs of all time, and it got my headphones on, got my microphone here, just singing to myself like a complete dick. So I apologize. That's in my head. Can't get that song out of my head once it gets in there. And then it got me thinking, there's a player that plays for UCLA in college whose name is Prince Ali. Greatest name of all time. And I want him to get drafted at some point in the next couple of years, because the amount of podcast material, podcast titles, podcast clips, wordplay I can use for Prince Ali if he gets drafted is going to be phenomenal. So everybody cross your fingers that Prince Ali from UCLA gets drafted in the next 2 or 3 years, because I've got a cache, or is it, no, it's not a cache, it's a cache. Same word, different pronunciation. I've got a cache of humorous things that I can say along that, along with me probably singing and writing a song based on him. So that's just, I don't even know why I'm telling you all this, because that song is in my head and it does funny things to me. Anyway, Michael Bolton told me to get to it, so let's get to it. First of all, we start off with the daily contests. On Instagram, we were looking at LeBron James. How many combined points, rebounds, and assists LeBron would have? The answer was 42, and two people got that one right, Gemtech and 13J03. Congratulations to both of you guys for getting that one correct. If you want to join in the Instagram contests, it's at redrock_bball, the same as Twitter. On Facebook, we were looking at Giannis Antetokounmpo. Combined points, rebounds, assists, steals, blocks. The total was 31. No one got it. We had 30s, we had 32s, we had 50s. We had someone probably a bit aggressively typing in 128. Not sure if it was a typo or if they're just a massive Antetokounmpo fan. That was probably not on the cards, but hey, with the way he's been playing, you never know. For Tuesday, Instagram, we're looking at Jonas Valanciunas, combined points, rebounds, and blocks. And on Facebook, we're looking at Johnny Wall, assists and steals combined. So make sure you're joining in both of those contests. If you can't, if you're not watching and you don't, and you haven't read the title of this podcast, which I'm sure you have, and today's title of the podcast was a massive, massive stretch. I hope it makes some sense. It was a huge stretch. I'm running out of things to say about Steph Curry, and I'm running out of titles to give the shows, but hopefully he doesn't get any more monstrous lines of the night, just because I just don't know what I'm going to do after today. I think this was bottom of the barrel. But here it is. Here we are. Steph Curry, the monstrous line of the night. Again, against Orlando, destroyed them. 41 points, 7 triples, 13 rebounds. That is massive. 3 assists, 4 steals on 14 of 24 shooting. He went 6 of 6 from the free throw line. He's just ludicrous. Yes, it was terrible against the Lakers, but he came out and he dominated the Magic. That is a fantastic, fantastic performance. What more do I need to say about Steph Curry, really? Probably not much, it would be my guess. When you're averaging over 5 triples, over 30 points, 5.5 rebounds, 6.5 assists, 2 steals on 51 and 91, and 46 from 3, there's no debate who the MVP is, who the fantasy MVP is. There's no debate whatsoever. Steph Curry, he's pretty cool. The waiver wire line of the night, we head to Memphis, where we had a very, very odd situation with the Grizzlies taking Matt Barnes out of the lineup, Mike Conley out of the lineup, Zach Randolph out of the lineup. So we had a weird situation, but Tony Allen was back after missing a stack of games with his knee problem, and he led the team in scoring with 26 points. He had 2 rebounds, 4 assists, 5 steals, 1 block, and 1 triple on 11 of 17 shooting. That is ridiculous value from Tony Allen. It is just superb. But when's Tony Allen going to score 26 points again? He's not. His per 36 average for the season for points per 36 minutes is 10. He scored 26 today. Had someone tweet me a question: is he a must-own player? No. This is brilliant. This line is fantastic. So if you added Tony Allen with the knowledge that these guys were out, you know what? I'm going to ride with it. You never would have expected this. 5 steals, maybe. But 26 points on that sort of shooting, he had a 3. All this stuff is not happening for Tony Allen. It's great. If you want 3s, he can be a decent rebounder as a shooting guard. But seriously, this is when these guys come back, Randolph, Barnes, Conley in the next couple of games, Allen's going to go back and play a smaller role. And he's not going to be this guy. We're staying with Memphis for the young gun of the night, and that is Jermichael Green, who got the start in place of Zach Randolph, played 37 minutes, and was fantastic as well. 16, 10, and 6, 4 steals and 2 blocks. We've seen him have these big combined defensive games a few times this season. And you look at it and go, well, that's great. That's really, really good. But then he just doesn't do it again. Yeah, per 36 on the season, he's averaging 1.1 steals and 0.8 blocks. That's not the sort of averages of a guy who's a real defensive dynamo. Yes, he can do it occasionally, and he's looked a lot better recently. He's averaging 2.2 steals per 36 in the last month, and that's obviously a big improvement there. But this was a very out of the blue sort of performance from Jermichael Green. He's going to play decent minutes with Chris Anderson out for the next couple of games, at least with that shoulder subluxation, and the Grizzlies already without Marc Gasol. And without Brandon Wright, they've got no centers because Ryan Hollins doesn't classify as a center. He's barely a player at this point. Green is going to get minutes. Is it enough to own in a 12-team league? In the last month, he's ranked 106, so you'd have to say yes. But it's not going to be for everybody. His numbers, while they're ranked at 106, they're 9 points, 5 rebounds, 1.3 steals, 0.6 blocks. That's not enticing. I like the fact that he shot 56% from the field. I like the fact that he shot 75% from the free throw line. They're nice numbers, but the counting stats are not great. He can be added playoff time. Hey, someone's hot. Let's add him. Someone's got an extended opportunity for a short amount of time. Add him. But is it really going to, I don't know, is he going to be a game changer? I would doubt that. Before we move on to the dud of the night, I had a question come in from someone watching live. Sabonification. Blake still isn't cleared for contact. Is he droppable if your playoffs start on March the 14th? It's a 16-team deep league head-to-head. If he gets cleared for contact tomorrow, can he be cleared to play on Wednesday, March the 9th? Yeah, he can, but then he's got to serve his suspension. I don't think he's going to get cleared for practice. We haven't heard anything to say that he's about to get cleared for practice. He's, he could be droppable, but I wouldn't do it now when your playoffs start next week. You've got another week to go. I would wait and see what happens this week. But remember, once he gets cleared, you're missing another week because of his suspension. So we're talking at the moment probably at least 2 weeks away for Griffin. So he might not be someone that can be held onto. It's going to be really tough. Heading into playoffs, you're going to be holding onto a dead roster spot almost definitely for next week. And then you see, who are you matching up against? Are you the 1 seed and you're playing the 8th seed or the 6th seed and you're going to smash them even without Blake? Then you try and hold. But I think that you will struggle to get him at all for next week. And that could be a real tough situation. The dud of the night. Haven't had many guys get a back-to-back dud of the night, but that is exactly what Harry Barnes did. How many times have I said it? He's terrible. He's just not good. He played 31 minutes and had 8 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal. He is just not a fan. And when I say he's terrible, he's a fine basketballer. He's average. He's above average. He's middling. He's going to get paid a lot of money. He's a terrible fantasy basketball performer. Who listening to this podcast still owns Harrison Barnes? Someone does. People do. He's owned in 72% of leagues. People do. Maybe some of you do. I don't know why. I'd like to know why you're owning him. If you're in a 12-team league, if you're going 14-team leagues, fine. He hasn't been that value over the last 2 weeks anyway. 16-team leagues, he hasn't been that value in the last 2 weeks. 20-team leagues, he's barely been that the last 2 weeks. But you own him in those situations. You'd own him in 14s. But if you're in a 12-team league and you still own Harry Barnes, why? What's he giving you? I'll tell you what he's not giving you. Anything. He's averaging 9.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, 41% and 56% from the free throw line, less than a 3, less than half a steal, less than two assists, negligible blocks, 0.1. He's not a positive in any category. He shouldn't be owned. And 72% means there's a lot of wastage of Harrison Barnes in your standard formats. Shouldn't be owned. Let's look at the perfect lineup from Monday. Point guard, my boy Norris Cole, 45.4 points. Steph had 64.1. Let's go back to Norris Cole. I don't like Norris Cole as a player. I don't think he's a good player at all. In general, he is a terrible fantasy contributor. But he's found a bit of a different role this year in New Orleans. They have got nobody. He is going to have to play big minutes, and he's going to have to get touches and usage. He should be owned. He has to be owned in all leagues. And there's a very big difference between someone who I go, I don't like Norris Cole as a player. I don't think he's good at all. I think he's a negative to a team. But when they've got no other option, and literally their other option is Tony Douglas, they're going to have to play him. He's going to accumulate things like assists. He's going to have the occasional decent scoring night and rebounding night. He has to be owned. I don't think there's any way you can not own Norris Cole. And that's coming from someone who earlier this season brandished him as the worst player in the league. Not the worst starter, not the worst rotation player, the worst player in the league. He was dreadful. But you have to own him. And he put up another big line here. Tony Allen, 44.4. And Lance Stephenson, 30.9. There's a lot of Grizzlies in this perfect lineup because of the resting issue that they saddle those guys out. At small forward, you would have had LeBron at 44.3 and Vince Carter at 26.3. Power forwards, Jermichael Green put up 48 and LaMarcus Aldridge back from his migraine put up 43.4 and Boogie Cousins went for 70.2. So a few of the guys that I mentioned on yesterday's podcast didn't know that the Grizzlies resting was going to be happening en masse. And once that went down, guys like Green was a great option. Yeah, I'm not sure that I would have been expecting Tony Allen to drop 44 points. Lance was a good punt option as well. Vince Carter was more of a tournament option than anything else, but really some nice numbers from those guys. That total would have given you 417 points, and you would have been pretty happy to get that sort of total, I'm reckoning. All right, we are going to have a quick break now, and then we're going to be back to look at the games in a little bit more detail. And before we do that, there is going to be a word from one of our sponsors. All right, guys, we are back. And let's get stuck into it. I had another question coming in via YouTube. That was for our Sabonification again, who's just responding to my answer. So thank you for the live interaction, Sabonification, Blake Griffin, that we talked about earlier. The first game, the Memphis Grizzlies and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Turns out the Grizzlies just need to play without Mike Conley, Zach Randolph, Marc Gasol, Matt Barnes, and Brandon Wright, and they'll get the victory on the road against Cleveland. What a strange couple of days in the NBA. The Spurs lost. The Cavs lost to the Grizzlies with nobody. The Warriors lost to the Lakers. Just stupidity, really. Tony Allen we spoke about. Jermichael Green we spoke about. Mario Chalmers has to be owned in all leagues now. He played 41 minutes. They literally have no other point guard on this team. 17-4-7 for Chalmers. 4 steals and a triple. Conley's already been ruled out of the next game. And I talked about it on yesterday's podcast that there was something odd going on with Conley. He couldn't get past 30 minutes. He was playing 28 and 29. And you had to look at Conley definitely for DFS. I had him as a recommended play yesterday. And you had to look at him in 12-team leagues. For now, you have to own him. You're in the playoffs. You add him. You get 2 games out of him. You might get more. There's something to say about that. And even when Conley was playing, he was playing 25, 27 minutes. Yeah, playing at the 2, playing at the 1, doing all that sort of stuff. So he had to be owned. Vince Carter, 26 minutes for Vince. 15 points, 2 triples, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 4 rebounds. A great across the board line. Carter's been playing more minutes than I think anyone would have anticipated given what we saw from him last season. But he's more of a deep league guy. Lance Stephenson went 17-7-3 with a triple 1. Big night from Lance, but with Tony Allen back in the mix now, and we're going to be having Barnes returning in the next game. I don't imagine that Stephenson plays 28 minutes. We probably get him back down to 21 or 22, and that's going to limit him for standard formats. Ryan Holland started in place of the Birdman, 4-2. He's not a guy, even in a situation where everyone's out, you're not looking at Ryan Holland. And PJ Hairston played 35 minutes, only for 9 points with a block and a 3, and he is clearly just a deeper league sort of guy. On the Cavs, Kyrie, 27-2-5, 4 steals, 1 block, 3 triples. He's so good for fantasy. He puts up so many numbers, and he's really underrated. LeBron, 28-9-5 with 2 triples in his 38 minutes. And shockingly enough, Iman Shumpert couldn't replicate his ridiculous line the last time he played. 9-4, a triple, and 2 steals. It's still okay, but he's definitely not someone that I'm looking to own in a 12-team league. Tristan Thompson, 11 and 6 with 3 blocks, 27 minutes. The minutes have reduced lately. The addition of Channing Frye has been an issue there. The elevation of Tim Mozgov back to the starting lineup has not really helped Thompson all that much. He's on the outers of 12ers. Kevin Love, 14 and 11 with a block. 2 of 9, he's dropped off significantly. We can see almost as a guarantee now, Kyrie, LeBron, and Love. Love is reduced significantly. We saw it last season. Oh, maybe he just needs to fit in, you know, whatever. It's just, he was great to start this season. Kyrie comes back. He's back to that last year, Kevin Love, which is not terrible, but it's not top 5. It's not top 10. It's not top 20. It's probably not top 30 fantasy value. Now, J.R. Smith is in a massive, massive cold stretch at the moment. 2 of 11 for 6 points with 5 rebounds, a block, and a 3. Really hard to own him in this sort of... This is an extended cold streak for Smith. He's going to get hot. When's it going to happen? You're in playoff time. You can't just afford to hold on to Smith and go, well, maybe you'll get hot. I hope you'll get hot. Maybe it'll happen in 2 weeks because you'll be done. You'll be out. So I don't think there's... It's hard to own him. I would rather be streaming him for someone like a Jared Bayless from Milwaukee with Michael Carter-Williams ruled out for the season. Obviously, Mario Chalmers. We'll talk about some other guys a bit later. The next game, the San Antonio Spurs and the Indiana Pacers. Another weird one. The Spurs lost to the Pacers. LaMarcus Aldridge played 38 minutes back from his migraine, 23 and 12, a steal and 2 blocks. He, after a really, really slow start to the season, Aldridge is out finding his groove and he's playing very well. He's still not that top 20 sort of guy that people assumed him to be in Portland. I didn't think he was ever a top 20 guy in Portland anyway. He's obviously not that this season, but his play has improved. Timmy Duncan played 28 minutes, 9 and 14, a steal and 2 blocks, and that is really enticing for Duncan. Add him, but if we get word, oh, he's resting, he's sitting, drop him. This is what the nature of the playoffs is. Tone Parker played 25 minutes, 6, 1 and 5. He has a left toe contusion, bruised his toe. You would think that would cost him a game. It's the Spurs. He might miss some time with that. That'll be a little bit cautious, I imagine. So Tony Parker, with his minutes in the mid-20s anyway, probably don't need to own him 100%. David West had 4 and 4 in his 16 minutes. Kyle Anderson went back to 9 minutes here. I think he'll bounce back up, especially if Parker misses some time. And we still haven't seen Kevin Martin take the court for the Spurs. We haven't heard who they're actually waiving yet, whether it's going to be Rasual Butler or Matt Bonner. And Manu, after a ridiculous start in his first game back, was not good here. 20 minutes, but just 2 points, 1 rebound, and 1 assist. Haven't spoken about Kawhi, because I want to talk a little bit about him here. 40 minutes for Kawhi. 23 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 3, 1 block. That's really good. The efficiency hurt a bit here. 9 of 23 from the field. 4 of 6 from the free throw line. Not his greatest night. But what I really wanted to talk about with Kawhi Leonard is we've heard this over the last 2 to 3 seasons. And I'm going to sound a bit ranty here maybe as well, is that people get caught up in narratives, and it's part of what I talk about with rookie walls and contract years. And remember when the Spurs won the title and Popovich did something that no one had ever done before and no one played average over 30 minutes? How many friggin' times did you hear people say, no one played over 30 minutes on the Spurs? It's Pop. No one plays over 30 minutes. No one plays over 30 minutes. And I was... It didn't anger me, that's the wrong word, but I was very much like, oh, hang on a sec. Pop's never done this before. It was like a perfect storm of events. The previous season, he didn't do that. The previous season before, he didn't do that. He'd never done it before. It had never been done. It wasn't a pattern. It wasn't him deliberately going out, we are playing under 30 minutes for everybody from here on out. Like, that is... That's just, it's a narrative that, hey, yes, it happened, and it did happen. But it didn't mean that it was going. It didn't mean it was going to always be his plan, and it wasn't always his plan before that. What I wanted to bring up here is that people don't draft Spurs. Pop's going to sit him down the stretch. They're not going to play. Yeah, Kawhi is great. He's not going to play. Kawhi Leonard's last 6 games, he's played 35 minutes, 39 minutes, 36 minutes, 39 minutes, 36 minutes, 40 minutes. Is that ramping down the minutes? Is that slowly weaning him off as he heads into the rest period? Maybe he'll have some games off. He hasn't had... But that's not... That's... Kawhi resting... He played fewer minutes in January. But this is March, middle of March. It's fantasy playoffs. And Kawhi's playing the most minutes he's ever played in his career. Narrative is one thing that you hear, and a lot of people will repeat it without actually checking into it. Oh, Tim Duncan always gets rested. I think he rested 6 games in the last 2 years. nah, you're not going to have Duncan for all your fantasy playoffs. And I reckon that might be the case this year, but it's never been the case previously. Leonard, he didn't miss any games. He didn't rest any games the last two seasons. His minutes are through the roof. Yes, it won't continue at this rate, but what I'm trying to point out, and what I think is really key when looking at fantasy leagues, is cutting through the bullshit, cutting through the narratives that you hear, wherever you hear them. Not bagging the people who say them or repeat them, but you've got to have a more analytical look at these things. You go, well, is this actually true? Is this true? Is Kawhi Leonard going to sit in my fantasy playoffs? Oh, he's only going to play 29 minutes. He's going to get popped. He's going to play... Yeah, Pop's going to play him 29 minutes. Well, no, he's not. Pop's going to play him 37 minutes, which he's done over the last 2 weeks. And this is... You know, it's important to not understand. Am I making sense? I hope I'm... You can't answer me. I hope I'm making sense. What you need to do is look through all this stuff and work out, is this actually true? Because a lot of the time, it's 20% true and 80% exaggeration. And that's some, you know, if I'd have told you that Kawhi Leonard was averaging, you know, 38 minutes a game over the last 2 weeks, you go, what are you talking about? And Spurs have lost one of those games. There've been some blowouts in there. He's just playing a lot. And that's what Pop's doing. So pay attention. Very nice tweet coming in here from Justin Willis at Jay Wilsey. Who else can say they are waiting for their baby girl to be born whilst listening to the Red Rock Fantasy Podcast? Hashtag dedicated. Jay Wilsey, Justin, that is very, very, very much dedication. That is superb. And congratulations for your baby that's about to be born. I did send Justin a message before on Facebook, giving him some name suggestions. I said, Josh, it works all right for a girl. I'm happy for you to name. I'll give you permission to name your girl, Josh. The other name I think would be really nice. Hyphenated first name, Evan Fournier Willis. I think it rolls off the tongue beautifully, Justin. So just a couple of suggestions that I threw out there for you. Hopefully you use them. If not, I'll probably forgive you this time. But otherwise, yeah, good luck and congratulations. On to the Pacers. Monte Ellis had 26 points in his 37 minutes. He had 3 assists, a couple of blocks, a couple of threes. A very nice night from him, especially when you're going up against Kawhi and you're going up against Danny Green, who, by the way, I didn't mention was terrible. Yan Mahinmi, another big night, 11-9, 2 steals and 2 blocks. He's owned in 34% of leagues. Harry Barnes is owned in 72. A lot of people are wrong. He's got to be owned in more than this. Paul George played 37 minutes, 23-5, 2 triples, 1 steal, 1 block. Back to his putrid percentage. 7 of 20 from the field is not ideal and not obviously beneficial for many people. Rod Stuckey had a really quick fire scoring to start off. Ended with only 12 in 19 minutes, but that's okay. He's just not going to get big minutes at the moment, especially with Ty Lawson. Oh, I'll talk to Ty Lawson in a second. Ty Lawson theoretically in town. Stuckey did that injured foot and ankle that cost him so much time. They're going to ease him for quite a while, it appears. Georgie Hill had just 5 points. Did chip in with 10 rebounds and 5 assists. Not his best night. And Miles Turner, at least he played 37 minutes, Turner. 9-10 with 2 blocks, 3 of 11 shooting. I think you should still own Miles Turner, but he's definitely on the precipice. The fact that he played 37 minutes here, he blocked 2 shots and got 10 rebounds, makes me feel more comfortable with him. Geordie Hill had 8-8 in his 28 minutes, and Ty Lawson made his debut for the Pacers, played 5 minutes, sprained his foot. He's questionable for the next game. He didn't return after doing that, obviously. Whether we see him or not, I don't know, but there's no point in owning Ty Lawson in your 12s, 14s. Maybe look at him in a 16-team league. It'd probably be the ideal spot, I'd say, for him. Minnesota and Charlotte. Karl-Anthony Towns, 28-14, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. Elite percentages, elite player. Gorgie Dieng, the minutes are definitely not where they were before, but his production bounced back in this one. 12-9 with 4 steals and 2 blocks. Big night from Gorgie. He had to be owned. He really, really dipped, and some of that was playing time because he was about 8 or 9 minutes less than what he'd been doing previously, but this is nice production. Andy Wiggins went 25-5. He had a 1-1 and was efficient, going 11 of 17 from the field. Big night from Wigo. And Rick Rubio, 10-5-10 with a steal and a block, continues to provide basically exactly what you want him to. Zach LaVine is playing a shit ton of minutes. 45 minutes for Zach. 19-4-2. 2 steals, 2 triples. And remember at the start of the season he was playing 24 minutes, 25 minutes? So he could get Tayshaun Prince 20? Yeah, that seems a long time ago, thank God. Levine is going to be a bit of a disadvantage with your field goal percentage. He went 7 of 20 here, very Paul George-esque, but otherwise the numbers and the playing time is very encouraging. Tyus Jones clearly tied down that backup point guard role now. 2 points with 4 assists and a steal. And Shabazz, last couple of games, under 20 minutes, Shabazz Muhammad, 5 points with a triple in his 18. Greg Smith lasted 3 minutes. I think he had an Anthony Davis injury. He had to leave with an ingrown toenail. I'm sure all you Anthony Davis haters will enjoy that joke. I don't really mean it. Ingrown toenails are a massive prick. I had ingrown toenails for a long time too. Big toes, and they killed. Like, I used to play cricket, and I had ingrown toenails, and every time I'd bowl, they'd just bleed everywhere. They'd cut open, rip open. My toes would be mangled, and they bloody killed. And I understand that it hurts. It's my sympathy goes out to you for ingrown toenails. They are not fun at all, especially when they get infected. Then it's a completely different ball game. Tayshaun Prince played 5 minutes for 2 rebounds. Congratulations, Tayshaun. The Charlotte Hornets, Kemba Walker, 34-7-6 with 6 triples, 12 of 20 shooting. Kemba has taken his game to a completely different level this year, as has Marvin Williams somehow. 15-7 for Marv, 3 triples, 3 blocks, and a steal. He'd been a little bit quiet lately, but a big bounce back here, and the Timberwolves will allow you to do that. And Nick Batum went 11-5-4. He had 2 steals and 3 blocks as well, so nice across-the-board production. Al Jeff, 26 minutes for Jefferson. He was 20 points, 6 rebounds, and 2 assists. That's great. I love it. But I'm still not classing him as a must-own guy. You can add him, definitely, in a 12-team league. Go and see what happens. You're going to get points. You're going to get rebounds. But he's going to get roasted defensively. He's older. He's slow. He's injury-prone. He will not take this job and get 30-plus minutes again. He's ownable short-term, but he has a very, very short leash. Cody Zeller, foul trouble, and that allowed Jefferson to play the extra minutes. They do prefer Zeller as the center here. 21 minutes for Zeller, 6-3-2 with a steal and a block. It doesn't mean he's a fantasy option, Zeller, but it means he limits what Big Al can do. Courtney Lee, really, really just getting in there and really just showing us exactly how you do nothing with minutes. 27 minutes for 4 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists. I read something the other day that his defense against his opponent in terms of shutting down their three-point shot is awesome. It's like an extra 10 or 12% reduction in opposition three-point percentage, and that's great. It means nothing for us fantasy-wise. That's why he gets minutes. He provides nothing. There is no point in owning him in a 12-team league. Even in a 14-team league, I reckon you're stretching it. Jeremy Lin, 9-5 in his 23 minutes. His 12-team league usability expired a while ago. The Kings and the Pelicans. Boogie loves playing the Pelicans. We saw it here, 40-16, 4 assists, 4 steals and a block. And for once, which we haven't seen very often, extraordinary percentages. 16 of 29 from the field, 8 of 9 from the free throw line. Rajon Rondo, 18 points, 10 assists, 2 steals, and 3 triples. When will you get 3 triples at Rondo? I think he's had a 4 3-pointer game sometime this season. It's not often. Rudy Gay played 41 minutes on a probable shoulder. It's like the Bulls are the training staff here. 18-10 for Gay with a triple, 2 assists and 2 steals. And Omri Caspi, the minutes keep going down. He actually produced here 15-7, but 18 minutes, not encouraging. Marco Bellinelli had 12, and Quincy Acey played 20 minutes, 2 points and 8 rebounds. So when we look at Quincy Acey, we see, okay, he played 20 minutes. Let's see what Willie Cauley-Stein did. Oh, he played 5 and didn't do anything. He is beyond buried on this team. It's a mess. They lost. George Karl is gone. Cauley-Stein is just not going to play. Darren Collison played 35 minutes. Didn't do anything, but 35 minutes is good. 5 points. Still had 6 assists with a steal and was 2 of 10. So you turn that into 5 of 10, and we're looking at a much better line from Collison. He is a guy for 12-team leagues. The Pelicans. Jrue Holiday played 36 minutes. 24-10. 4 steals. 1 block. He played 36 minutes. How did that experiment go? Elvin Gentry, how did it go? Oh, well, let's just see how Jrue Holiday goes as a starter. We'll plan for the future. Dickhead. Jrue Holiday's a starter. He's been a starter for a long time. Your other options would... I know I ranted about this the other day, but it's just... There's been a lot of dumb shit said by coaches this year. That's up there with the dumbest to me. Jrue Holiday's good. Anthony Davis, 31-10. 3 steals and a block. Hit a triple as well. And Norris Cole, my man... 23-7-6 with 3 steals. Inefficiency is still there, 8 of 19, but really nice counting stats. And he's going to get a shit ton of minutes, and he's going to force his way into fantasy stats. Someone who can't do that despite minutes is Dante Cunningham. He played 29 and had 7 points. 4 steals and a block is nice, but that's hardly reliable. And Ryan Anderson's struggles continue. Yes, he had 19 points. He only played 27 minutes. He had 6 rebounds and not much else. Omer Asik, 14 minutes in the start. This is how bad Omer Asik is. Kendrick Perkins is playing more minutes than him. 17 for Perkins, 14 for Asik, 0 points combined. Well done, guys. The Milwaukee Bucks and the Chicago Bulls. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 12, 10, and 5. Other way around, 12, 5, and 10. 3 steals, 1 block, poor shooting, but still, on an off night, he's still, and he's putting up that, you know, he's good. I mentioned earlier, Michael Carter-Williams is out for the season. Jared Bayless played 38 minutes here. Jared Bayless should be owned in all 12-team leagues. Yes, the last few games, Carter-Williams has been out, and Bayless hasn't done a lot, but the minutes have been there, and you know it's going to turn, and it turned here, 22 and 4. I added him in a 10-team league. I actually just dropped him tonight in my 10-team league playoff to pick up Brandon Knight, who is going to resume practice, and we might see Brandon Knight play this week. I took a bit of a risk, and I think that for me in that league, adding Brandon Knight is what's going to push me over the edge to get the three-peat. If it works out, if it doesn't, then maybe I'm stuffed. But I think Bayless should be added everywhere. Jabari went 18 and 11 with a steal and a block. Chris Middleton, 18, 5 and 3 with 2 steals, a block and a triple. So big nights from the main guys there. And Greggy Monroe, 11 and 14 in his 29 minutes. Poor shooting though, and just can't get the big minutes. It's just not happening for him, and it's just not going to happen. Miles Plumlee, 6 and 7, no blocks in 19 minutes, and that's what he needs to get production. And OJ Mayo really giving a challenge to the guys, the group of least with most guys. 26 minutes, 2 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. It is clearly going to be Bayless who benefits the most from Carter-Williams' season ender. Pau Gasol, what a performance from Pau. Another triple-double, 12, 17, and 13. 1 steal, 5 blocks. It would have been better if he didn't shoot 4 of 14 from the field, but really hard to fault some of that other stuff. The Bulls, I talked about the Bulls training staff before, and I've sent a few tweets out. I think people think that I like the Bulls training staff. They're terrible. They are dreadful. Taj Gibson, back again from his hamstring issue. 37 minutes for Taj, 12 and 10, 2 assists, 1 steal and 3 blocks. He doesn't need to play 37 minutes, coming off a nagging hamstring injury that caused him to not play, then play, then not practice, then play. You don't need to play him. You don't need to play him 38 minutes. Tibbs isn't there, you know, whipping your ass, play everyone as much as possible. Or maybe he is. Maybe it's not Tibbs. Maybe it's someone else that's doing this throughout the Bulls. You don't have to play these guys this many minutes. Mike Dunleavy played 35, so safe to say he's ready to go. 18, 4, and 2, 4 triples, 7 of 9 shootings, a little bit unrealistic as a target for him moving forward. But in 14-team leagues, I think Dunleavy is worth a look. Derrick Rose had 22 with 7 assists. He's been really solid, obviously not MVP Derrick Rose, but really good. And Nikola Mirotic, this is why I was so excited about Mirotic to start the season. 20 minutes, 14, 6, and 3, 2 threes, 1 steal, 2 blocks. Add him. I think you should add him in 12-team leagues. He's going to play over Bobby Portis, we know that. He should be playing way more minutes than this, but in a very similar vein to Nikola Jokic, he doesn't need 30 minutes. If he gets 25 to 26, that's enough. Here he had 19 minutes, 47 seconds, and it was enough to have a brilliant line. He'll have bad nights, definitely, but his value, unlike a guy, say, like Aaron Aflalo, whose fantasy value is tied to, did I shoot well or did I shoot poorly? Mirotic isn't tied to that. Because he will have an off night, and then he'll grab 8 rebounds and have 2 blocks and a steal and hit 2 threes. Yeah, he'll do that. And then his shot falls and he has 20 points instead of 8. He does other things. And that's like Jokic as well, just contributing right across the board. Speaking of the Bulls medical staff, Jimmy Butler didn't play. Swelling in his knee. They're terrible. The Bulls medical staff, just terrible. He came back from his first game back in about a month with that knee issue. And the first thing that the Bulls announced, Jimmy Butler's going to be back. No restrictions. Nah, do what you want. Go and play the most minutes in the league. You'll be good. You're only coming off a knee injury, which initially you guys said was nothing. And then he misses about a month. It was clearly not nothing. And now it's back and he plays one game. It's like, sorry, can't play. My knee's swollen up. Can't they afford MRIs in this team? This is a real blow heading into fantasy playoffs. We don't know when Butler will be back. At this stage, he's listed as questionable, but who knows what that means. Last time he was listed as questionable, and then he missed a month. It's probably not the same situation, but not good. with Butler out, each one more played 36 minutes, had 16 points with 2 triples and 7 assists. If we get confirmation that Butler's missing time, then Moore becomes a back-end 12-team league guy. Doug McDermott down to 13 minutes. That's not good. 4 points in that 13 minutes. He has not a place in many fantasy leagues. Bob Portis has a left orbital contusion. He's got a black eye. 4 minutes for him. His minutes were way down anyway with Mirotić returning. There's no value in Bob Portis. And Aaron Brooks is dealing with a knee problem that restricted him to just 4 minutes. The Los Angeles Clippers and the Dallas Mavericks is the next game we're going to take a look at. The Clippers with a big victory. Chrissy Paul, 27-4-7, 3 steals and 2 triples on a ridiculous 12 of 18 shooting. That's awesome. DeAndre Jordan scored a season-high 23 points against the Mavericks. 20 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks. He went 11 of 19 from the free throw line. We know the Mavs aren't scared of the hacker, but 6 of 7 from the field and everything else was very, very nice from DeAndre. JJ Redick, I mentioned, he'd been quite quiet. 22 points for him in 26 minutes with 4 triples. That's a nice bounce back. And Jamal Crawford went 15-4-3 in 29. I don't think that Crawford should be. He's not a 12-team league guy for me. Jeff Green is just so up and down. Big game last one. Stinker here. 0 points in 21 minutes. 3 rebounds, 2 assists. I think he's ownable still. Yes, I do, even after this sort of bullshit. But by no means is he locked on, you know, padlocked to your roster. He's the worst guy on your team, and you can move on from him if necessary. Wes Johnson only scored the 3 points, but had 3, had 2 steals, and had 1 block, and just providing exactly what he needs to. He's more of a stream towards the end of a matchup, though, to get those low-volume numbers. The Mavs, they needed the victory. They didn't rest anyone after the overtime. They did restrict their minutes, though, once the game was out of hand, and they lost. That's bad for the Mavs to lose these two. Dirk, 22-6 in 28 minutes. Chandler Parsons, 9-8-2 with 2 steals. And, honestly, not a lot else. Wes Matthews had 2 points on 0 of 6 shooting. Darren Williams went 9-4-4 in 27 minutes. Zaza Pachulia played 15 minutes. It was just a very, very spread out rotation. Let's check in on Superman David Lee. He played 16 minutes and had 13-8. He shot 4 of 11 from the field and had no other stats. That is more like it. Even the 13 points is a little bit exaggerated. That is more along the lines of what to expect from David Lee. Sure, own him, but this don't expect superhuman MVP David Lee that we were seeing before. This is what you should be expecting more of. Yeah, he probably won't shoot 36%, but he's definitely not shooting 77% as he was before. This is more of the David Lee, I think, that I am more I'm more accustomed to seeing. The last game of the night was the Orlando Magic and the Golden State Warriors. Aaron Gordon, back to minutes. Thank you, Scotty Skiles. 20-16 with 1 steal and a block. And I wanted to touch on a couple of things here. Had a couple of people tweet at me today, and someone said, I now understand the hate with Scott Skiles, you know, late scratch of Nick Vucevic, you know, killed me in DFS, you know, cost me $6, which I know that was a facetious tweet in terms of the $6, but I don't hate Scott Skiles because of DFS. It's not his business to do anything about DFS. He should not give a shit about that. And yes, that's the NBA. Maybe they bring in, you know, lineup restriction times and all that sort of stuff, but I don't care that there's, yeah, I don't dislike Skiles as a coach for because of DFS. He's frustrating for fantasy. I don't like Skiles as a coach because he's bad for a team. He is a horrible communicator with players. Players don't like him. He doesn't get the best out of them that he can. He doesn't develop anything for the future. He destroys confidence. There's a lot of things that he does wrong. It's not my dislike for Skiles as a coach is not because of he hurts the fantasy value of Victor Oladipo, who I drafted in the 3rd round. My issue with Skiles is that you're hurting the value of the franchise with the guy that picked number 2, and you're not developing him in the correct way. You're playing bullshit guys like CJ Watson 30 minutes while Alfred Payton is playing 19. You're limiting Aaron Gordon to 16 minutes so that Jason Smith can play 25. That's the stuff that pisses me off with Skiles, not DFS related. Someone else tweeted at me today, and I find this tweet. Where is it? Yeah, enthralling radio. Where are we? I will find it. Okay, I'm not going to say who it comes from. But this is just an opinion. I like to point these things out, even if it comes from listeners, because you need to know that there are people who have certain opinions out there and that it's not set in stone. With Conley injured, would you drop Aaron Gordon for Mario Chalmers? Now, I said, no. Okay, if that's Aaron Gordon, would you drop Aaron for Chalmers? If that's Aaron Gordon, no chance. And the response was, why do you think Aaron will become good? He's already good. He's already good for fantasy. And I highlight this because there's no stupid questions. You can ask me any question you want. I'll give you my answer. But I highlight this to say that if someone in your league might own Aaron Gordon and have this opinion, have your trade deadline passed? If not, try and get it. Try and get Aaron Gordon. Because obviously not everyone's convinced and not everyone believes. And you see that by 72% of people owning Harrison Barnes and 34% owning Jan Mahinmi or 35% owning Gaz Harris. Not everyone's convinced about things. Aaron Gordon is good. He has to be owned everywhere. He's owned in the same percentage of leagues as Harrison Barnes is. Ludicrous. Vic Oladipo, 39 minutes. 19, 9, and 8 with a steal. Big minutes for him. And Nick Vucevic was out in this one with a sore groin. The Magic didn't really run with a center the whole game. Jason Smith played 23 minutes. Dwayne Dedman played 9 minutes. Neither of those guys are worth a pickup if Vucevic happens to miss time. Skiles did that thing with the point guards again. It just pissed me off, I'm sure. And Lord Alfred Payton, only the 23 minutes, 6, 2, and 7 with 3 triples. And Brandon Jennings had 20 points in 25 minutes with 3 assists. We're not getting sucked into Brandon Jennings here, are we? I hope you maybe a 14-team league, you'd look at it. But this is just classic Skiles. He'll play 12 minutes and have 4 points in the next game. Ersan Ilyasova had 7 points in his 15 minutes. And Mario Hezonja back to the bench with Fournier and Oladipo healthy. 4 points for Hezonja. If you own him in a 12-team league, you can do better. Fournier had 20 points with 3 assists, 2 steals, and 2 triples. For the Warriors, if you haven't seen the Vine or the video of Andrew Bogut back-tapping a rebound to Steph Curry, running off the court while Curry's got the ball in his hand, wagging a finger in the air celebrating to do a sub, before Curry shoots it, he's that confident that the ball is going in. It is the most arrogant, ballsy, look, what are you talking about celebration I've ever seen, and I love it. I absolutely love it. Have you ever seen, Steph would shoot it. He turned around to the Kings bench that time and, celebrated in their face before it went in. Bogut is literally celebrating before the shot has gone up. He's running to the scorer's table to sub out before the shot is up. He puts one hand up to celebrate. He switches it over to the other hand to celebrate and runs past Steph before Steph shoots it. And just, I'm out of here, guys. I'm checking out. Well done. Fist pump to the crowd. It is ridiculous. Bogut was good. 4, 10, and 6. 3 steals and 2 blocks. He's dragging me right back in. I think you can own him in 12-team leagues and feel semi-confident. Klay Thompson, 27 and 6 with 5 triples. And Draymond Green, just really struggling. 9 rebounds is great, 10 assists is great, 2 steals is great, 3 blocks is great, 1 point isn't so good, 0 of 3 from the field is not also good, and 1 of 2 from the free throw line is not also good, and I'll tell you what else is not also good, that English, so I do apologize for that phrasing. Over the last month, Draymond is ranked outside the top 40, he is averaging less than 10 points a game, he is shooting 41 and 68%. He is hurting you in those categories. He is hitting 0.5 threes a game over the last month. He is hurting you there. He is basically giving you Rajon Rondo type numbers. Big assists, big rebounds, decent steals, bad percentages, very high turnovers, 4 turnovers a game, and no scoring, and no threes. Really, really interesting. And I had this debate with someone the other day on Twitter talking about Draymond Green, and there was the Giannis Antetokounmpo debate, and we're talking about Draymond. I said, Draymond's not an easy guy to build around in a draft, and whoever it was I was speaking with said, no, I think he's the easiest. I disagree. You don't get enough points from him. And you lose, generally, your percentages will drop, and they have dropped significantly for him over the last month. His field goal percentage has been good for this year, but he is not an easy guy for me to build around in a fantasy. I don't own him in any leagues this year, and that was relatively deliberate. First of all, I didn't think he was going to get this much better than his breakout season last year, but it's also, he's just not an ideal guy for me to try and build around. There are going to be plenty of people that own Draymond that are in really good spots in leagues, but his drop-off is real, and it's a bit of a concern when you're heading into the fantasy playoffs. Not much else to talk about on the Warriors, I wouldn't have thought. That's it for the games. I'm going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back to preview Tuesday's six-game slate.
This is the part with just the guitar, while we wait on the bass and drums. I'll sing of love and you from afar. Well, here they come in now. Me and the sky are on the road. As we hit the halftime break, the chorus that you know, you can't see what I see.
We've got six games on Tuesday to talk about, but before I get into that, I had a nice comment come in on YouTube, and I looked at that across the break, and I'm going to get to it now. It comes from Mark Strotman, who I think is watching live, and he says it's an ethics question for a keeper league. Team A is in fifth place. They're half a game ahead of Team B in sixth place. The playoffs are next week. Team A is looking to avoid the four seed, who made plenty of win-now moves at the trade deadline and is a powerhouse now. So, Team A is benching all his players to lose a head-to-head week 8-1, drop down to the 6th seed. Team A is playing a lottery-bound team, and it won't affect the ping-pong balls. In your eyes, is Team A justified? Yes. Yep, no problem whatsoever. It is not shady. It's a bit like, it maybe leaves you with a marginal feeling in your stomach, but you know what? Is there a rule against it? No. Is he getting someone else in the league to do something for him in order to do it? No. He is controlling his team only, and his or her team. He is controlling that team himself. He is not asking someone else, hey, can you bench all you guys so I get a win and jump into this seed and it's not going to affect you. That's bullshit. That's cheating. That is something I can't deal with. He's not going, oh, give me a Steph Curry. I'll give you Harry Barnes back. That's cheating. This is completely within the rules. If there's an issue with it amongst league members, which I'm imagining there will be, draft a rule. You have to play all your players. If you've got an active player, they have to play or else the commissioner just puts them into your lineup. I don't like that rule, but that happens. And teams, real-life sporting teams will do this stuff often. They will do it strategically. They don't probably do it as much as what they could, but they do it. No problem. No issue. It's not cheating. It's not manipulating another person's team. It's not using someone else to do something for you as a favor. Oh, do this. I'll buy you lunch tomorrow. That's bullshit. That sort of stuff is horrific. This is fine. No problem whatsoever. It's the same thing as at the end of a head-to-head week matchup, sitting all your guys to win turnovers, sitting all your guys so you don't lose field goal percentage. It's the same thing. Yeah, it's a more widespread thing, and it's throwing a week, but whatever. I've got no problem with it. It doesn't bother me at all. If you've got an issue with it, you draft a rule. But if it's not in the rules, you're not invoking anyone else. Fine, doesn't bother me in the slightest. Let's move into these games now. Thank you for the question, Mark. I do appreciate it. The first one, the Brooklyn Nets and the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors are favored by 12. The total is 207. The Nets have been playing a little bit better lately, apart from that abomination in Minnesota when the Timberwolves shot about 104% from the field. injury-wise, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson's not playing, but he's back in practice, so that's good news for him. Not sure that he really needs to be stashed in your 12-team leagues. He wasn't, like, setting the world on fire before. He'd be an intriguing guy once he comes back, but, yeah, don't think he's really worth a stash. Point guards. Shane Larkin has outplayed Donald Sloan significantly recently. In his last three games, Larkin is averaging 29 minutes to Sloan's 21, and he's averaging 23 fantasy points. He's at 3,900. A lot of the times in your DFS lineups, there'll be nights where I go, there is no cheap options at point guard. Tonight, Tuesday night, whatever, yeah, Tuesday night, there's a lot of cheap options. Shane Larkin is a tournament option at point guard. He dropped 27 in the last game. 23-point average at 39 is worth it. 30-point upside, he could have. Now, it's not a good matchup against the Raptors, but if he forces himself into some minutes, grabs a couple of wild Kyle Lowry passes, gets himself three steals, has six assists and 12 points, that's going to be worth it at that salary. Lowry, on the other hand, the only thing stopping him from going for about 60 points is the blowout factor. He's priced at just 9,000. He's averaging 47 across his last five. He plays the Nets, which is terrible backcourt-wise, fantasy-wise. He's a great option. Corey Joseph not getting it done at 4,000 despite the easy matchup. Wouldn't be looking to use him. And Don Sloan, maybe they miraculously go back to playing him at 30 minutes. I wouldn't have thought that'd be the right move, but what do I know? I'm not an interim coach of the worst team in the NBA. It's not fair. They're not the worst coach. They're not the worst team. Sloan shouldn't be playing over Larkin, and I've said that from the beginning. Shooting guards, Markell Brown. Is this guy for real? I guess we'll find out today and see what happens. But 4,100 for Markell. He's averaging 25 across his last three. I reckon he's fine to use. At 4,100, do you get 20 points out of Markell Brown? Look, there's probably a 50% or maybe 40% chance that you don't, but I'm pretty okay with him. He's definitely outplaying Wayne Ellington. Not that that's a tough task, but he is doing it. DeMar DeRozan at 7,800, 40 points should be a solid aim for him here. Terrence Ross at 3,800, you can only look at him in a tournament and nothing else. Norman Powell, Dwayne Casey's going the Sam Mitchell route and alternating starts between Jim Johnson and Norman Powell. This is going to be Powell's turn. He was okay in the last one, 18 points or so. At 3,500, do you look at him? You probably don't, but he's playing the Nets and maybe something happens for Powell. Wouldn't be shocked to see him get 25 or 26 points. Not going to bank on it, but yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if he's going to get those extra minutes. Small forwards, Bojan Bogdanovic is less than 4,000, 3,900. He's been a bit disappointing lately, but he is a great tournament play. Jim Johnson not looking at. Sergei Karasev, no thank you. Really want to see some more Bruno Caboclo, though. Don't think we're going to. Power forwards, Thad Young should be back after his rest. He's priced at 7,000, but the Raptors are really good defensively against power forwards, like very, very good. 7,000 for him, it just doesn't feel right to me in this matchup. Patrick Patterson at 3,500, is he ever going to go above minimum salary? Probably not, and it doesn't matter. You don't use him. Luis Scola went off in the last game, so that means we're probably going to see nothing from him in the final 20. Tom Robinson put up 48 in the last game with Thaddeus Young out. He will likely go back to single digits, so don't get too excited there unless we see Thad miss again. Same goes with Willie Green, who dropped 36 with Brook Lopez out. Speaking of Lopez, he's at 8,400. I don't love him at 8,400 here. Yes, he's been really good, but he's not 8,400 good. Jonas Valanciunas at 6,200. Love him as a player, but he's just that 4,500 price too high. Yeah, he's priced that he should be getting 30 points, and he just doesn't get it enough. The next game, the Minnesota Timberwolves and the San Antonio Spurs. Initially, you'd be like, this is yuck. This is a stay away for the Timberwolves. But they've got some great value plays here still, despite the fact they're playing the Spurs. The Spurs are favored by 11. The total is 207 points. Kevin Martin revenge game? Maybe. We haven't even heard official word that he signed yet, so I don't think so. Greg Smith is questionable with that ingrown toenail, and Tony Parker dealing with a toe issue as well. Point guards, Rick Rubio, 6,700. He's been right on that value recently. The Spurs would make it a little bit of a worry, so I'm not sure I'm using him. But I am looking at Tony Parker's replacement, Patty Mills, who is basically a 24 to 25 point guy at the moment. And if Parker's out, 4,200 for Mills is definitely in play, even in a cash game and in a tournament. I think he's awesome. Shooting guard, Danny Green is straight trash at the moment. We're not looking at him, but we are looking at Zach LaVine. He's at 5,500, and I know that Danny Green's going to be on him, but I'm confident that LaVine can get 25 points, 25, 27, 28 points. I'm confident he can get around that level and be pretty consistent. His last five games, LaVine, his highest score has been 30, his lowest score has been 27. That's bankable fantasy points. Ginobili, up and down. He's at 4,500. I want him under 4,000, and then he's a tournament option. Andy Wiggins, 6,100. You know my thoughts there. When Kawhi's on him, I think you can forget about it. Speaking of Kawhi, at 8,600, he has been putting up some big numbers. Only put up 34 today. Wasn't his most efficient night, but a 44 average across his last five makes him definitely a good option here. Shabazz Muhammad at 42. No, not in this matchup. Kyle Anderson, Tayshaun Prince, Damian Rudej, they're not worth looking at either. Power forwards. LaMarcus Aldridge, 7,400. I think he's definitely in play at that salary. He's been putting up big numbers recently, averaging 40 across his last three. He's clearly in play. Gorgui Dieng at 6,000. Had a big game, only put up 33 points. I'm not all that keen on using him going up against the Spurs. I think he'd be okay, but I'm not in love with it. Centers, I'm in love with Karl-Anthony Towns. You probably already know that. He's priced at 8,900. The Spurs defensively don't shut down centers as well as they have in the past. 8,900 for Towns. He dropped 53 in today's game. He's a 45 average across his last three. I feel pretty confident we're going to get over 40 from Cat. 5,100 for Timmy Duncan. He had a big game today. That means he probably plays 20 minutes in this one, so probably a stay away for me. The Hawks and the Jazz, the Shelvin Mack Bowl. The Jazz are favored by 1.5 points. The total is 192. And speaking of Shelvin Mack, another one of those cheap point guards who is worth a look. He's priced at 3,900, less than 4,000, averaging over 20 points in the last three. He can be decent. He can be terrible. I'm fine with using him at that price. Jeffy Teague at 6,200. You do better. You do better than Jeff Green. He's okay, but not for that salary. Dennis Schroeder's under 5,000. That becomes intriguing for a tournament, but that's it. Hal Neto and Trey Burke? I don't think so. Shooting guards. Kyle Korver is a tournament option at 4,000. He is averaging 23 across his last three, so that's decent, but not someone I'm having massive confidence in. And Rod Hood at 5,400 has been well down recently. This is an opportunity for him, I think, to have a really big game. I'm feeling it a bit for Rod here. I think that we're going to see a Rod explosion against the Hawks, and it's not cash game for me, but tournament, I think we see 30-plus from Rod. That's just a gut feel, though. Tim Hardaway, Chris Johnson, none of these guys are float my boat. The small forwards, I like both these guys. Gordie Haywood at 7,300, just a consistent 35-point guy and not a tough matchup against the Hawks, whereas Bazemore for the Hawks, not an ideal matchup, but at 4,900 when you're averaging 27 across the last five, you can afford to have a bit of a subpar game and still come out on top. Thabo Sefolosha, Mike Scott, Joe Ingles, none of those guys move the fantasy needle for me. Derek Favors at 7,600, massive in the last game, 57 points. He's averaging 34 across his last five. You know, 35 points should be a relatively realistic goal. Paul Millsap I love, but you have to spend $400 more, and he has to face Derek Favors and Rudy Gobert. That makes me go, no thanks. Chris Humphries, no. Trevor Booker had a big game in the last one, but I don't imagine that being something that's all that replicable. At center, Rudy Gobert, he's at 6,900. He's just not for me at that salary and his recent level of production. And Al Horford at 7,400, not getting it done either. 28 average across the last three, and the guy that you don't expect someone to turn it around against is Rudy Gobert. The New York Knicks and the Denver Nuggets. The spread is not released. This is Mallow back in Denver. And I mentioned this the other day about Kurt Rambis and about how stupid people in the NBA must be, or some of them must be. The narrative's out there again. Kurt Rambis is coaching for his job. Now, I saw someone tweet out that, you know, results aren't what should be measured on. But apparently, that's what they are measured on. And he's going balls to the wall and playing Mallow 40 minutes a night and a Calderon 35 and a Flalo 42 so he can limit guys like Jerian Grant and Kristaps.
Percentages.
It is malpractice, and he's going to get hired for next year, Rambis. He is going to be the Knicks coach. This organization is disgraceful, if that is the case. I feel sorry for Knicks fans. Mello is going to get hurt, and I don't like saying that. He is going to get hurt this year. He is going to hurt his knee, and he is going to hurt his knee big time. And if they are looking to trade him, they're not going to be able to. Rambis is going to cost the Knicks their future in some way. Mallow is going to get hurt. You don't play your 30-plus-year-old star with an already sore knee in a lost season 40-plus minutes every single night. You don't do it. He will get hurt, and it will cost your team significantly. Aaron Aflalo will get hurt, And you know what he'll do? He'll opt into his bloody contract, so you're stuck with him for another year. It's going to hurt. Stop doing it, Kurt Rambis. And if people are seriously judging Kurt Rambis on whether he wins games to give him the coach, then their priorities are completely stuffed. This is a disaster waiting to happen. And now Mallow comes out and says, I want Rondo to play here next year. What a joke. Absolute joke. Anyway, point guards. Jose Calderon, 3,900. He's playing a shitload of minutes. He's not producing, but at 3,900, you know what? In a tournament, maybe something clicks. Probably doesn't, but maybe. I'll tell you what has clicked. Emmanuel Mudiay. He's priced at 6,000, but he has been destroying teams. 41 average across his last three, dropped 39 in the last game. It doesn't get much easier than playing Jose Calderon. I reckon you can use Mudiay and feel pretty confident about it. DJ Augustine at 4,000. There's other cheaper guys I'd prefer, like Shelvin Mack. Jeremy and Grant, love it, but not going to see it. And the Knicks are signing Tony Roten for 3 years. Yes, the last two are non-guaranteed or partially guaranteed. Don't go and add Tony Roten in your fantasy leagues. There's Langston Galloway, there's Jose Calderon, there's Jerry and Grant ahead of him. I think he's ranked outside the top 450 for this season, Tony Roten. He's not good. He is not a good fantasy player. He fits in very, very certain situations, and he needs 35 plus minutes. Don't add Tony Roten if you're in a standard league and think that, you know, whatever opinion you have on him, you know, your sweet memories of his time in Philadelphia last year when he's literally one of the worst players in the NBA, is going to turn it around. It's not. I can't believe they're signing him for 3 years. This team is stuffed. The shooting guards. Will Barton's at 5,800. He has been disappointing since Gallinari's been out. 5,800 is not a terrible salary, though. If he gets 30 points, he's made value, so I think that he's in a good spot against the Knicks. Gaz Harris at 5,000, I do really like him. He's a 27 average across his last three. His upside probably isn't quite as high as Barton's, but he can have decent games. He's had a 34-point game in the last five. Barton's highest is 33. Harris at 5,000 is someone that I really do like. With Langston Galloway, he's not producing anything under Kurt Rambis, and Aaron Aflalo is hit and miss. He's at 5,000, but he's only a guy to look at in the tournament. Maybe Saša Vučić gets a birthday bump. He's old, so he should probably play 40 minutes. Mallow at 9,100. I think Mallow is a really good fantasy option here. DFS. He's averaging 45 points because he's playing 40 bloody minutes a night. Will he play 40 again? Yeah, probably. He's had 2 days rest. Maybe they're playing 48. He's going to get big points. He's playing in Denver. I think this is a big night for Mallow. Jakar Sampson, 3,500. That's not appealing. Lance Thomas is never appealing either. Power forwards. Ken Faried was great in the last game. Put up almost 55 points at 6,400. This is not an awesome matchup for him, but he's been playing well. So I have a relative amount of confidence in Faried. If we hear nothing to say that his back's playing up, I'm fine with using him. Darrell Arthur at 3,500. Not getting it done. He'd be great, but their coach is a massive penis. I'm not sure what's going to happen. Are they going to play him 18 minutes? Are they going to play him 24 minutes? I think the only answer I can give you with confidence is he going to play enough minutes? No. He's not worth using in DFS. Unfortunately, that run appears to be done with the hiring of the greatest coach in the world. Centers. Robin Lopez. That's the best thing about Rambis coaching is Lopez is getting consistent minutes. He's at 5,800. I think he's in a really good spot here. It should be 30 plus for him. Nikola Jokic at 5,900. He is averaging 34 points across the last three, 35 in his last game. Yes, there are issues with him in minutes. It makes him a really tough cash game option, but in a tournament, I'm very happy with him. And 3,600 is my boy, Kylo Quinn. If my other boy is out, Derek Williams started the last game. He played 19 minutes. Does Rambis unfurl his cock? Do we get him out there? Do we just let it all hang out and give Cock some air? Give him some playing time. Give him some run. I sure hope so, because you know, Kylo Quinn can put up numbers. He's at 3,600. 25 points is not out of the question for him. He is a very under-owned, he will be under-owned tournament option if Porzingis is out, but don't be embarrassed to show your cock in your lineups. That's all I'll say. Washington and Portland. No spread for this game just yet. Bradley Beal is out with that strained pelvis. He's out for the next couple of games. So is Gary Neal. So we're not going to have the Beal and Neal show. Point guards, Johnny Wall is at 9,600. Against Damian Lillard? Oh, either of these guys can be used. 92 for Lillard, 96 for Wall. Their average is both under 40. It's almost identical, but you expect them both to go for 40 plus here, and I think either of them is a fine bet. If I'm picking one, I'm spending 400 less, and I'm taking Lillard. Shooting guards, Beal's not there, so we're going to have Garrett Temple starting, and he's going to do nothing, so I don't think we need to get too excited there. But 6,900 for CJ McCollum, I reckon that's a pretty decent price against this Wizards team. 35 points for McCollum should be the aim. And Alan Anderson at 3,600, someone asked me, is he a guy to look at? Yeah, he is. Now, the Blazers are defending his position pretty well, so there's that factor. He only got to 24 minutes in the last game. Don't imagine he gets much higher just because of restrictions from the surgery. He's at 19 points in his last game. He's at 3,600. He's had a high score of 22 in the last five. He's worth looking at, but to me, he's not a I-must-play Alan Anderson sort of guy. Small forwards, Otto Porter, not a chance. And I'll put Al-Farouq Aminu in the same not-a-chance basket. And the other guy is Mo Harkless. So in all, the small forwards in this game do not cut it for me. Power forwards, Markieff is at 5,100. I like what he's been doing. He's been playing better. This is a nice matchup for him. In the tournament, I'd be happy to use him because he does have 35-40-point upside. The Blazers guys, Ed Davis, Noah Vonleh, no thanks. Jared Dudley's providing nothing. And Nene is... Nene. Marcin Gortat, does he get 30-plus minutes? If so, yes. If not, then no. And that makes him a tournament play only. He had 40 in the last game in 33 minutes. He's had a 55-point game in 41 minutes. And he's played 25 minutes in the other games, basically. Mason Plumlee and Myers Leonard, they're just too... They're too inconsistent, I think is the right term. The last game of the night, the Orlando Magic and the Los Angeles Lakers. The Magic are favored by 3 points. The total is 213.5. Lou Williams is out. Kobe Bryant is questionable with his shoulder issue. D'Angelo Russell is at 5,900. I love him at that salary. I think that he is a 30-plus point guy. Marcelo Huertas is another cheap point guard that you have to look at. He has got 29 in the last game, and that was with Clarkson and Kobe back. He played 27 minutes. If Kobe's out, he's going to play minutes and he's going to rack up some numbers. Now, he's not a must-play guy, but you can get 25 points at 3,800. That could be useful. Lord Alfred Payton at 56. Scott Skiles limits him to a tournament-only option. And Brandon Jennings and CJ Watson, they're just not guys I'm looking at. Evan Fournier at 5,300. Beautiful matchup for him. He should be able to get close to 30, so I do like him here. Vic Oladipo at 66. Just feels marginally high, but against the Lakers, I think he could have a big night. Jordy Clarkson at 6,000. Yeah, no, not so keen on Jordy. Small forwards. Mario Hezonja, metal world piece. I think we'll leave both those guys alone. Power forwards. Brandon Bass is worth looking at. He's at 3,900. He's averaging 23 points across his last three. He's been getting some increased minutes. He is someone that you can have a look at if you're struggling to fit the salary in a tournament. Aaron Gordon at 6,000. Yeah, he could get Skiles at any moment, but it doesn't get any tastier than a matchup with the Lakers. 30 points should be definitely an aim for him. Julius Randle is also a 30-point guy. He's at 6,200. Fine with using him. I don't think his tournament upside's all that high, but for cash, he's pretty consistent. Ersan Ilyasova, Jason Smith, Larry Nance, not much interest. If Nick Vucevic is out, well, obviously we're not using him. At 8,000, if you know that he's playing with no restriction, you'd like it. But coming off a groin issue, I'm not all that interested. But he is a 40-point guy. Roy Hibbert, Tariq Black, none of those guys really interest me at all. Let's look at the DFS picks for the day. Point guard, Shelvin Mack, 39. D'Angelo Russell, 59. And Kyle Lowry, 9,000. Shooting guards, Gaz Harris, 5,000. Zach LaVine, 55. And DeMar DeRozan, 78. Small forwards, Kent Bazemore, 59. Gordy Hayward, 73. And Kawhi Leonard, 86. The power forwards, Brandon Bass, 39. Aaron Gordon, 6,000. And Derek Favors, 7,600. And then we look at the centers. Kylo Quinn, 36. Robin Lopez, 58. And Carl Anthony Towns, 8,900. We are done today, guys. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at redrock_bball. And of course, Basketball Monster at Bask Monster. Heaps of stuff over there. And of course, check out hardwoodparoxysm.com. If you've got a spare 5 minutes, leaving a review on iTunes would be awesome. And a subscription there would also help a tremendous amount. Good luck in your playoffs if you are in them. Commiserations if you missed out. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.